Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm yours, Dave.
And John.
And JD.
Here we are again, gathered after a real crappy day to talk comic books.
Yeah. I'll probably start with just saying that, aside from all the BS that's going on in the media and everything, our hearts and prayers go out to the families of the people who were hurt by this Las Vegas shooting.
Yes. I agree with that 100%. It was a senseless tragedy, and you know, if you live in the Las Vegas area, and I know this is going out on Wednesday, but if you live in the Las Vegas area and you can donate blood, I'm sure they still need it.
They have lined past like a couple of days. Actually, they're working on trying to get everything organized, because they literally can't take blood enough at this point,
right?
Which is good, but you know, again, you're listening to this on Wednesday, check Google. There's probably by then a whole bunch of ways set up for you to donate in the most effective way possible, either to the Red Cross or to, you know, any of those places that assist people in this kind of thing. They're also setting up ways for people who are psychiatrists to go there to help with the families that what's going on. So yeah, just check Google, check the authorized places, you know, Las Vegas City Hall, Las Vegas actual websites. I'm sure there's plenty of ways that you can help.
And and as one of my favorite YouTubers pointed out in his video today, and he does every time something like this happens, just take a loved one that's near you and grab them or her and just, you know,
lock them in a closet so they're safe.
Tell them you love them, because you never know when you won't get a chance to do that again. So yes, what a fun way to start a fun podcast.
Well, that and Tom Petty, but he's not dead yet.
Well, let's just be careful with what we say, because this is pre-recorded. We don't know what's going to happen. As of this recording, he had a massive heart attack, is on life support. He was reported that he was died, and now they're retracting that.
And now he has risen. It's petty. But until you hear this on Wednesday, you will not know whether he is dead or alive.
You know, I was going to talk about what's going through my mind with Tom Petty. You know how...
You're more into the music stuff side than I am.
Well, you know how, like, there's moments in your life, and sometimes there's a song that comes out with things going on in your life, and like it attaches a special meaning to that song forever for you. I just remember in 1994, when the song You Don't Know came out, You Don't Know What It's Like, and just, you know, things going on in my life, and that was like the perfect anthem for me for the longest time. And, you know, it's always had a special meaning in my heart, so...
See, for you, I would have thought it was Echo, but
so
Hard Promises, one of those.
In 2001, it was my dad's 50th birthday, and I was in college, and I bought him tickets to see Tom Petty. And when he came to Chicago, it was going to be me, him, and my brother. It was going to be for later that summer. It was, I remember, July 21st, 2001. Mm-hmm. And we never wound up making a show, because that wound up being the day of my mom's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat at home, and we actually thought about going, because it was like, well, today sucks, so might as well just go. And then at the end of we were getting ready. It's like, you know what? I just don't feel like going. And I never had the chance. So I was always going to say, well, we'll go next time he's out. And then, you know, 16 years flies by and life grabs you, and sometimes you get lost and sidetracked. And it's, I don't know if it's a regret, but it was just always like, man, I'm never going to get that opportunity that we just didn't do.
Right.
Because for obvious reasons. But it's just, that's how I'll always think of Tom Petty. It's the first thing I'll think of every time.
How about you, John, you have any memories?
Let's just say that any memories I had of, you know, that kind of thing kind of faded over time, seeing as how I was into that scene when I was living with the hippies in the commune.
So you're saying you might have smoked a memory or two away?
Well, I'm not going to say that, no.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Good.
How would you know?
Exactly. There you go.
That's what's going on. That's what we're all thinking about.
What a great day.
Yeah, what a great day. So let's move on. You know what? Since you're listening to us bitch and complain and reminisce, why don't you take your time out and go check out our website, superheroespeak.com, where we have not only the podcast posted every Wednesday, but you can find some comic book reviews, rants, and interviews, print interviews. I just posted one last week. And, some great other content, news, and you can find out all things Superhero Speak there. Plus, all our social media links on the top right-hand corner of the page. So, if you haven't been there, you should be there. No. Okay. now that silly business is out of the way, I thought we'd have some fun this week, guys, and do a Stump the Geek again.
It's not very hard for us. I'm sure our listeners will get along.
So I'm still new to the show, and I don't know what Stump the Geek is.
Oh. Well, we take a geek and we put him on a stump. Then we make fun of them.
So here's how this is going to work. And the next time one of you guys can come up with the questions. So we're going to go back and forth between you and John, and I'll ask you a question. If you get it right, you know it right off the top of your head, you get 2 points. If you don't know, your opponent will get an opportunity to steal, and if he steals, he gets 1 point. And these are all, this week, they're all Batman questions. So, I expect both of you to do well. And I have questions ranging from the super easy to the moderately difficult. So I'm gonna start with, I'll start with you, JD.
Alrighty.
And here's a super easy one. Before your dog destroys the kitchen. What is Batman's alter ego?
Oh, Bruce Wayne.
There you go. See? Easy. 2 points.
Oh, come on!
I gotta leave.
And I'm gonna get, what's the airspeed velocity of a coconut-laden swallow, right?
And John.
That's not a Batman question.
John, in issue 227 of Detective Comics. What was on page 5, panel 3? No. No, I'll throw you an easy one.
Damn it.
What are the names of Bruce Wayne's parents?
Martha!
Uh-huh. And?
Oh my god, I'm gonna blank on this. This is stupid. Thomas.
Yes, see? Alright. We got a tie game. Alright, these might be too easy, huh? Alright, let's try another one. A lot of people don't know this one. JD, who killed Batman's parents?
That would be Joe Chill.
Oh, wow. We got a good game going here.
Or was it the proto Joker?
What was that?
Was it the proto Joker?
No. We're not going with that continuity. That was from a movie. This one has your name written all over it, John. I want to see if you can do this one. How many cartoon series was Kevin Conroy the voice of Batman?
Ooh, well that, okay, let's go through. There's Batman the Animated Series, there's Justice League Unlimited, Static Shock, Adventures of Superman. How am I doing so far?
I just have the number. I didn't have them all listed, but
I think he was in the Zeta Project as well, because that was a crossover with Static and the Justice League. I'm not sure about the Zeta Project. Kevin Conroy is also now the voice of Batman in Justice League, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's six. Yo, seven so far.
That was six. You're missing one very obvious one.
I said Batman.
What?
Batman the Animated Series.
No. The other very popular Batman series where Bruce Wayne wasn't Batman.
Bruce Wayne wasn't Batman?
No.
Yeah, kick yourself and you think if you don't think of this one.
Oh, I know. Because, I mean, I picked up on ones like Zeta Project and Static Shock that most people...
Come on, John.
I'm resisting the urge to Google this.
Well, actually, I only need the number, but I'm going to...
I mean, well, you gave me the number. That doesn't...
Yeah, I know.
Now, yeah. Now it's all about what it was. Geez, wasn't the 60s Batman, because Kevin Conroy wasn't alive back then.
It hasn't happened yet.
No, he's not in Gotham, is he?
Oh, God, no. Like, we're talking animated series.
Oh, so not yet? Oh, God, there's another one? Is this like...
You didn't say one yet. No.
I give up. I'm feeling the urge to kick myself, and all I won't right, be JD, able to do that until you tell me.
What's the one?
I'm going to steal, and I'm going to say Batman Beyond.
Yes. That was...
Son of a... God, yeah. And that's one of my favorites.
So I'll give you one each for that.
I'll take it.
All right. Okay. Here's a good one. JD, how many official Robins have there been?
We're talking in continuity Robins?
Yes, in continuity Robins.
In which Earth?
Officially, there have been Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Damian Wayne, 4. 5, spoiler, I forgot. Stephanie Brown was
yes.
For a time. I almost forgot that one. I caught myself.
That's all right. I'll give you the full points because you got it at the end. And I was going to say bonus points if you could name them all.
Do I get the bonus points?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll give you 3 points. Oh, you're kicking John's butt.
Competitive, man. We got the competitiveness going.
Yes, yes. Okay, John. I'll give you
these things.
Do you want an easy one or do you want a hard one?
Oh, give me a hard one. If I'm going to be embarrassed, I might as well just go full on embarrassed. Go on.
Introduced in Detective Comics 267.
Oh, you son of a...
What is the name of the extra-dimensional character that decided to help Batman fight crime?
Batmite.
Yes!
That wasn't hard. That was easy.
Well, that was a question just for you, because I know you love Batmite.
As much as I like Batmite, but go ahead.
All right, this one. let's see. Okay. Here's a... I don't have a lot of hard ones left. Jeez. Okay, let's go with true or false, JD.
Okay.
Batgirl was created for the TV show, for the Batman 66 TV show, and was so popular she was introduced in the comics.
I'm going to say false, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
You are correct.
Okay.
She was actually, what had happened was basically they were creating her at DC and hadn't released her in the comics yet. And at the same time, the TV network was told they needed to add a female lead to the show. So they went to DC and said, oh, how about we use Batgirl? And she actually debuted on the show first, but it was created by the comics first. What do they call it? Kismet? Okay. So now here's a follow up for that for John.
Mm-hmm.
Who is credited with the idea of making her Jim Gordon's daughter?
Kevin Feige? No.
Good answer.
He wasn't alive back then.
Completely wrong, but good answer. Joss Whedon? No. Let's see. Who's credited with giving him? I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, JD, do you have a guess?
I'm gonna guess, Julie Schwartz?
No. It was actually Bill Dozier. Who was the producer of the Batman 66 TV show. That was his idea. So, all right. JD is still in the lead.
Of course he is.
All right, John. Oh, wait, no, it's a JD question.
The humiliation complete.
All right. I'm running out of questions here. I didn't think we would go on for this long, but this is fun. Who's broke Batman's back?
Oh, seriously?
Come on. It was obviously Superman.
Barry, no?
Yes.
Bane. Yeah.
All right, John. This one is especially for you. It's to see if you pay attention to our own podcast.
Oh, God, I'm going to get this wrong.
Out today, as of the day this is released, who is the artist for Batman the Dawnbreaker number 1?
How the hell am I supposed to know that?
That's sad.
I'm God, how many artists do we need? I mean, I'd say Greg Horn, but that would only be a plug for Greg Horn.
No, not, Greg doesn't do interiors. He only does covers.
Oh, no. Wait. I do know this one. Vince Skip. Ethan.
You mean the guest we just had on last week?
Yes, that very same one.
There you go.
Excellent.
All right. Here's the last question I had. And this was to be a tiebreaker if you guys tied. So,
except.
So I'm going to give JD a chance to answer first. If he doesn't, I'll let you steal it for 5 points, John.
Okay.
Recite the joke that the Joker says at the end of The Killing Joke.
Okay. So do I have to get it perfectly?
No, as long as you get the gist.
Two criminals are gonna walk across a thing, and when the criminal goes, I'm gonna turn on my flashlight, and you walk across, and he's like, no, if I get halfway there, and you'll turn it off. It's something like that. It's been a while. It's been a long time, but I'm on the right path. I'm on the right path.
Yes.
I'm warm.
You're very warm. I mean, that's essentially the punchline.
It's a stupid joke. It's a stupid joke.
It's a very stupid joke.
Hence the ending. But yes.
See, there were these two guys in a lunatic asylum. And one night they decided to go, they don't like living in that asylum anymore. They decide they're going to go escape. So like they get up to the roof and they're just across this narrow gap. They see the rooftops of the town stretching away in the moonlight, stretching away to freedom. Now, the first guy, he jumps across with no problem, but his friend, he didn't, dare to make the jump. You see, he's afraid of falling. So then the first guy has an idea. He says, hey, I have my flashlight with me. I'll shine it across the gap between the buildings and you'll walk along the beam and join me. About a second or two passes and the guy shakes his head and says, what do you think? I'm crazy? You turn the light off when I'm halfway across.
So that's basically exactly what I said. I should get all the points.
There you go.
No wonder people think Batman broke the Joker's neck at the end of that. It's a horrible joke.
That's why he didn't make it as a stand-up comedian. So.
Hey, you guys, on the subject, have you ever heard that before Grant Morrison said that a couple years ago? That
what?
That Batman, I never got that from that he broke the Joker's neck.
Am I totally off on that? I thought something really bad had happened when I read the end of that. Yeah, I thought he'd killed him. I didn't know how. I didn't know about, you know, I mean, I guess they're talking about he broke his neck or whatever, but I thought Batman actually killed him because it fit the entire ethos of that storyline. It was very, very dark, and it felt like this was the end of it. And one of them had to die in order for it to end.
Well, yeah, because he does set that all up in the beginning, too.
Yeah.
When he walks in on the fake Joker playing solitaire, and he basically is like, you know, there's only one way this is going to end. One of us is going to end up dead. But I agree with you, JD. I never really kind of got that. Like, because it just didn't. It seems like a very non-Batman move.
Which is weird, because they kind of ended up in kind of continuity after that.
Right.
You know? Weird. Okay. Sorry to derail that.
Let me derail one more thing. I have one hard question for you two.
Uh-oh.
And the first person to answer gets the no prize. Yes, the no prize. The famous Superhero Speak no prize, which means you get no prize. But you get notoriety and recognition. You ready? Okay. So if you're in the Marvel Universe and you shrink down small enough, what heroes may you meet?
The Micronauts?
That's all I can think of.
Well, good, because you blurted it. Dave blurted it out, and he gets it.
I'll concede that. I won the first one. I won the one that counts. So.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, you are.
Am I the only one that still owns actually bought those comics back then?
I have a few. I'll admit it.
You do?
Yes.
So it's not as uncommon as I thought.
I think I was alive yet.
We're hiring new blood here at Superhero Speak. Very new blood, apparently.
Yes, but
compared
as,
to our, you know, dusty, desiccated blood, but you know.
But as he proved, he is the true geek. So
my wife will be so proud.
Yes, she will. She'll say, "Take me now, you wild stallion."
Or get out, you're bothering me.
Yeah, and there goes our G rating.
All right, guys. Since we derailed with a Marvel question, let's talk about some Marvel news. I think it was just the other day or today that some set photos leaked from the Wasp and the Ant-Man and the Wasp, and we got our first look at Ghost from the movie. And, I got to say, it's not a very impressive costume from what you can see.
The Wasp usually looked a lot different. Actually, it looks like they might. I hope they are not only a Green Lantern and they're going to CGI on it, because it kind of looks like the Tron costumes before they did the self overlays.
I have always kind of taken the opinion of when these set costume things are released, they always look bad because this movie stuff revolves a lot around, and without lighting and camera angles and stuff like that, these things tend to look stupid because it is all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pass judgment. I remember the one movie I did with John Wesley Shipp about 6-7 years ago. We had a monster, and when I looked at the monster, I'm like, this thing looks stupid. But then when I went back and looked at the footage, it was all right, man. When, you know, things can look better in camera than in reality. So I'm going to reserve judgment and not poop on this thing.
Right. I mean, and from what you can see, it's just a plain gray costume. There's no mask.
Well, you don't know that there is a mask. They're not showing.
That's what I'm saying. That they could either CGI that in later, or, you know, like they do in most of these movies now, she'll have it off for half of the movie.
Mm.
So.
It's like a really emo Power Ranger.
Yes. So, I mean, what's interesting is, we've had Crossbones, now we have Ghost, but they killed Crossbones, so are we never gonna get Thunderbolts?
Uh-huh.
I think based on the Suicide Squad movie, we shouldn't get Thunderbolts the movie.
Okay.
This is true.
Good call. Alright.
And beyond all this, it's Evangeline Lilly in a superhero costume, so there goes, like, millions of fanfics and cosplays. You know, I mean, we've only got, what, 2 days? I am sure we're going to probably see this we'll see one or two people at the New York Comic Con.
Oh, yes, that is true. And speaking of that, New York Comic Con, you have your first assignment for the convention, huh?
First one you've given me. I already have.
So Marvel has released their exclusive posters for the New York Comic Con involvement, and of course,
Jessica Jones.
As I say, the poster. Wow, I can't talk tonight. The poster teases Jessica Jones in season 2 and Cloak and Dagger. So, you know, you definitely need to check out the Marvel panel to see what they say about Jessica Jones season 3.
Two.
Yeah. by three, it's probably all about her in Alcoholics Anonymous.
We'll see. So, I mean, I just saw this news. I included it because, being a little selfish, getting excited for the convention coming up in a couple of days. Tomorrow, by the time you're listening to this, you guys excited for Jessica Jones season 3?
Two.
Oh my God, two. Yes. Daredevil season 3, Jessica Jones season 2.
Yes. We are excited for all those Marvel things. What we are not excited for is when are they going to take them off of Netflix? Because Disney wants to make all the money. Is that next year?
Supposedly. Hopefully. Okay. I'm hoping they make an announcement about what's going on with that at the convention as well.
Yeah. The other thing I'd like to find out at the convention is why ABC was explicitly told they could not cancel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, Marvel, yes.
I can spitball on that one. I think it's just simple. We got a lot of money stumped in Marvel, and we gotta see this thing through. I think it's a favor to Ike, my conspiracy-laden brain.
So what, you think they're using it as, you know, what we call in retail a loss leader?
Could be. Where
they can lose money on that, but they're using it as like a jumping point to get people into the Marvel, the Marvel universe?
So the show started out, when it first debuted, with 12 million viewers. And by the end of last season, they were averaging 2 million per episode. Oof. So, yeah, I mean, they've taken a large nosedive. But here's the thing that I've been hearing from people. A lot of people jumped off, especially in season 2, and because they were getting bored of the formulaic spy show that didn't feel like it had its own thing. It was just kind of a loose tie-in to the movies.
And then it got a lot better.
I'm saying, and then I know some people who jumped back on last season and they were like, wow, this got better. So, you know, maybe.
So I quit on it season one. Like the first like five episodes, I was like, this is just, I don't like this at all.
Right.
And I came back into it, I think part of season two, when Kyle MacLachlan was on as Mr. Hyde. I quite enjoyed those episodes.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And then I think it was the Inhumans thing that lost me. I forget when I got lost, and I never checked back into it. Like, it just feels too outside the Marvel Universe. You know?
Well, I think that's why they brought Ghost Rider in last season, to make it feel like, okay, this is a Marvel show, so here's an actual superhero that we don't plan to put in a movie, so here he is on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and I really, see, here's what I can't understand. So, the first episode of last season had 3.4 million viewers, and by the last episode, it was 2.079 million viewers. I can't understand why this is having trouble with viewership and Gotham is freaking still going.
That's a good question.
Does Gotham get higher? Does Gotham get higher rating than S.H.I.E.L.D. does?
I think it does.
Like, I got nothing.
I don't think it's like, you're not talking, you know, Game of Thrones numbers, you know, or Big Bang numbers, but I think they're doing better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. Do you have those numbers, John?
For Gotham, first, yeah, they finished up with 3 million viewers.
Right.
They started with 3.8 and they went down to 3.0 from first to last episode.
Right. So yeah, they're not laughing all the way to the bank, but they're doing better than Agents at the moment.
It's insane. Like, when you hear these network TV numbers where you're getting 3 million people watching, I mean, that's stuff that would have been canceled way before that back in the day. Like, now, the latest thing about the landscape of TV has just shifted so much that, yeah, 3 million people watching a network show, good enough.
Well, I think, like I mentioned, Big Bang, they're the biggest sitcom on TV still, and they're 14 million. Yeah, I mean, like, those numbers would have been ridiculously low. I think when Firefly got canceled, they had like 6 or 7 million viewers. So it was like,
well, that's Fox, so that doesn't count.
No, but I'm saying
low on Fox, is what he's saying, you know? Back in the day, like 6 million on Fox. Fox had less to begin with, so the standard is lower.
Exactly. So
that's, yeah.
So now, but now they're going to cancel a show. Are they going to keep a show on with 3 million, where if you went back, you know, 15 years ago, 6 million, not enough. Let's cancel it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, you know, hopefully they're ABC was told that they can't cancel it. So there's going to be a season 5, which is good, because the cliffhanger they ended on season 4 would have been as epic as basically Firefly. It's
right.
Like, how could you end it there? How? So this, you know, this would be good.
So,
I hope more people come back to it, because the writing has been really good, you know?
Right.
And if they have more people on, like, you know, if they had Ghost Rider, maybe they pick up somebody else, like, okay, everybody's thinking I got to say Squirrel Girl, but I'm not. I'd like to see somebody else.
Like,
other than Squirrel Girl, which I can't think of right now. I can only think of Squirrel Girl now. So, but somebody else. I mean, yeah, and
They could do Moon Knight.
Well, that would be cool.
That would be pretty awesome, yeah.
They could do Namor, I believe. They have the rights to now as well.
Oh, God, that'd be
Namor
like
would
Aquaman.
Be awesome.
Really?
Oh, my God. Namor is so cool. And by the way, Aquaman is also cool. Don't poop on Aquaman.
Well, the new Aquaman, yeah. Yeah, but he just as soon as destroy them as help them.
Yes.
That would go towards the tension. Okay, fine.
He's such a cool, Namor is such a cool character. Like, I'm amazed that they haven't, I thought there was some weird stuff with both Universal kind of own rights to him too at some point. But yeah, I'm surprised they haven't gotten on the Namor thing sooner. That'd be great.
Yeah, no, I've liked Namor. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, you could say he's a more, pissed off version of Aquaman.
Dick well, Aquaman.
Yeah, he thinks he's better than everybody. He's very entitled Aquaman.
So wait, he's modeled it after you? Ah, sorry. But anyway, sorry, John, that was bad.
Wolverine Returns from the Dead. I'm so surprised.
I was going to say. See, you missed. You screwed up my segue. I was going to go. So Disney brought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back from the dead, just like Marvel has brought Wolverine back.
I never get it.
What's?
And you hear the surprise in my voice.
Well, what's interesting is like. They sit there and they go, oh, Wolverine's been dead for 3 years. But then they're forgetting that last year they did their Secret Wars event and they brought in Old Man Logan into the MCU. So they still had Wolverine around for a little while.
They also had Ultimate Wolverine.
Yes.
That they brought in.
So it's not like, it's like, yeah, they killed him off, but then they brought in alternate versions of him into the MCU. And it's like, well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. There's Ultimate Wolverine, but this Wolverine, I'm looking right now at a picture of him with an Infinity Gem. So, isn't that Ultimate Wolverine then?
No, it's the real Wolverine, because I actually read the Legacy book. They show the adamantium case that he was like, boiled into, I guess you could say. They dumped liquid adamantium on him. And yeah. it's carved out. So they're pretty much saying it's Logan. How he comes back to life. I don't know. I just wonder what they do with the redundant Logans.
But what I'm saying is he now has an Infinity Stone. So yes. Doesn't that make him ultimate no matter what anybody else says?
I get where you're going with that.
Possibly. And that's the funny thing too, right? Because, yeah, they show him, he kills an ice giant and ends up with the Infinity Stone and it's blue. But they didn't say which Infinity Stone it was. But wasn't traditionally the blue the Mind Stone?
Yeah, the Mind. Yeah, but... Well, according to the sources that we're looking at, they've changed the lore, mm-hmm. Lately, so it could be anything.
They're also stones instead of gems. They were always gems.
This is true as well.
People use that interchangeably in the gem world. So, call them stones, call them gems. It's still a garnet or whatever. So,
but you have a good point. What are they going to do with the redundant Wolverines? Because
Well, now we just have the most awesome comic book ever. All of them together.
So we have, four Wolverines running around?
Imagine they'll keep, Laura, mm-hmm. the former X-23.
Yes.
And I think Old Man Logan kind of exists better in his own, doing his own thing. Like, I just think that it doesn't work quite as well in the modern Marvel Universe. I think I'll just wind up with regular Wolverine and then X-23.
I just want to see a big brawl between X-23, Ultimate Wolverine, Wolverine Resurrected, and then having Old Man Wolverine just sit in the background telling him to get off his lawn.
Yeah. So like a day in your life.
Well, yeah.
it's interesting. I do think it was kind of funny because they didn't hint at this at all either. All the artwork that was released to promote the event just showed Old Man Wolverine and X-23. So they were kind of like keeping regular Wolverine out of everyone's mind. And then, lo and behold, they bring him back in the first issue. So we'll set to see what happens. So
I'm intrigued. I mean, like, I don't know. The other Wolverines aren't as cool as the original. I mean, like, I know he's overexposed a little bit, but Logan's a cool character, man.
Well, is he overexposed? I mean, you have to admit, there have been some really ridiculous stories with Wolverine.
Agreed.
But
I think it comes from overexposure, though.
Yeah.
Like, how many times can you do the same? When you have, he had 3 monthlies and he was on 3 or 4 different teams at the same time. I mean, it gets, there's only so many stories you can tell at one time before stuff starts getting a tad silly.
Yeah. When they killed him with a nuclear missile, and there was just a little bit of flesh left on his bones, and it completely regrew back to him. I was like, all right, it's over the top now.
But there was a lot of great stuff. Jason Aaron's Wolverine in Hell story, basically, mm-hmm. where he has to essentially kill his illegitimate children, was awesome. And like any character, in the right hands, it's fine.
Right. All right. So on to funner news. The DC side of things. Another little thing about the wonderful world of New York Comic Con. They're going to be having a panel on the Watchmen Doomsday event that Jeff Johns is hosting. So it's another.
That I am excited about.
So write that down in your assignment list, John.
I'll fit that in right next to seeing Mark Hamill.
What do we think of this DC Watchmen Doomsday event?
I'm liking it. So far, it's been handled, as far as I can tell, it's been handled right. It's just been kind of background. It's been, you've had hints popping up every so often. Batman had had the badge, which led to the Flash and Reverse Flash and the Reverse Flash dying whole thing. And I think it's been handled really well. I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we know that Dr. Manhattan has been screwing around, like, not just way in the background, but right up front with, like, Reverse Flash at the very least. So I can't wait to see what else happens.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that's my thing. They just, basically started this universe, this rebirth, and are they resetting it again, or?
I think they're justifying it more so than resetting it. Like, because you got to think about it. Like, what's always the Big Bang in DC was always represented by a big blue hand, right?
Right.
Holding the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of fits.
Yep.
Kind of works.
They even had a couple of images of that in, which was it? I think it was the end of Justice League, I think. When they were wrapping up the whole Hawk Girl, Green Lantern thing, they were going back and forth in time, and they went forward in time, and they saw that the hands. Oh no, they're going back in time, but they saw the blue hands around. What was going to be the universe or something. So even in the animations, they've been doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's nothing new. It's just it'll be interesting. I'm sure Alan Moore will have a lot to say about it.
I'm sure he won't care. Like, he lost that thing a long time ago. And I feel like I always think I should feel worse about this, but I don't. Like, I think it's been executed pretty good. Like, I did, like, on the surface, like, when they brought Watchmen back, I think it was, like, in 2009 or 10 or maybe something like that. I was like, oh, this is going to be stupid. And I didn't read many of it, but I don't know. This, when I heard about it, I thought, oh, it's going to be dumb. But like John said, it's been handled really well in the execution so far. So I'm cautiously optimistic on this one.
Cool.
It just won't have his flavor, It's a truly cynical comic.
Oh yeah.
And technically that's not what superheroes are all about. So what we're going to see is a clash between a hopeful universe and an incredibly cynical universe. So I can't wait to see how that turns out.
Right. No, I agree with that. So moving on to DC / comics / movie news, in a stunt that, like, I don't think Marvel really hasn't done this, DC is taking a big step in promoting the Justice League by all the covers in November, which is the month the Justice League movie comes out. All the covers of the DC comics will feature the Justice League, but not only does it feature the Justice League, they're drawn to look like the Justice League from the movies. What do you guys think? You think that's a clever promotion? You think that's going to work, or is it just...
I think it's genius, to be quite honest with
you.
Because the movie's had, like, we talked about it, like, it's been up and down, it's had good buzz and bad buzz, mm-hmm. and I think they need to push it a little bit harder. And I think the only reason Marvel hasn't done that is because I bet no one thought of it.
This is true. I'll give you that. I was just shocked when I saw the one cover, and it was like, wait, it's the Jason Momoa Aquaman. He doesn't have blonde hair. Like, something's not right. What do you think, John?
I like it. I mean, it's cool.
It's cool.
I don't have much to say about it. I'm just, it's DC. They'll screw it up somehow.
Are you going to run out and buy all the covers?
That was me in 1990.
Yeah.
Again, I'm more cynical these days. I mean, how many people are going to go out and buy all the covers,
Enough that it justifies people doing it.
Yes.
Like, there are people that are, I don't want to use the term, but they're a little, that they collect, like, and they have to get all these things. And I think that this is another discussion for another time about how the market tends to abuse these fans, and it puts a lot of stress on the shops. And I kind of cringe when they do these things. I mean, I don't know what the deals have been offered or been, but like, I do feel like that comics marketing really tends to beat up their customers a little bit.
Yeah.
So ethically, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, and
as far as marketing goes, good idea.
Yeah, yeah. It is a good idea, but the problem is that they take it to an incredible extreme. I mean, one of the reasons why I got out of comic book collecting in 91 was because you know, you'd get the Spider-Man number one comic, right? It came in like 14 different variants, and you had to try and collect them all because you had to try and collect them all. You know, it's the Superman, the Superman number one, or Man of Steel number one. There is the Robin number one. They had variants of all these comics, and every month there was like four or five of them. And, you know, comic book collectors are usually younger, and they don't have the money for this. So
I don't think you're right, actually. I think that they're older. Like, when you talk to a young collector, they don't buy, like, people who came up in the era where, you know, you stocked up on comics because they were going to be worth something. Like, the person the current fan, the person who's likely to buy this, to buy it online or, you know, in Comixology, doesn't care about that kind of stuff. Like, the fan that is the collector is the one that's going to go out and buy all the covers so they have the collection, so they have the set.
But isn't this geared towards those people to get them to, they're going to buy it, the
electric. No!
But, look at all these covers. You get the covers if you buy the actual hard copy.
No, and this is what I was saying. I don't think it's ethical. This is not designed. This is a promotion to get people to look at the new Justice League. But this is totally something to get that collector's mentality, to get the completist.
Yeah.
Because now you just guarantee the completist buys your entire run of books for that month.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's genius, because
they're trying to. They're trying to introduce this to the new kids, or
no. The new kids don't care. Like, they're going to see it, and they're going to be like, "Oh, cool! There's the new guys." And they're going to buy the books they want to buy. This is, anytime they do anything like this with these covers, this is to get the completist excited, to get the cover collector, to get the eBay guy
that buys
a bunch of books. Most of those people, what this is for.
Most of those people have given up by now. I mean, there's still a few of them, but even in the late 80s, by even the early 80s, it was way too late to do that kind of thing because there were too many people already saying, oh, there's a new number one coming out. Yeah, put aside 20 of those for me. I'll pick them up on Thursday.
But they're still like that, though. Like, if you go on eBay and look at comic stuff, like, there's still a bunch of people that shop like that. Like, this, there is still that completist mentality of collectors, you know?
Like, it's still there. It has to be the year 3030 before anybody can get anything out of it, though, you know?
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not saying it's logical. I'm saying they're doing it to exploit that particular customer, the one that will buy everything. Because and I'll talk to my guy at the shop on Wednesday, and he'll say exactly, like, we're going to buy X amount of covers because we're going to know that we're going to have 10 to 12 more shoppers that are going to come in and buy the entire run because they're going to want to have the set. And it's going to be for guys who think it's going to be worth something, guys that have to collect everything, or guys who are going to turn around and sell the batch on eBay at a jacked up price. Whether they get it or not is a different story.
Right.
But that's exactly what they're doing that for.
No, I agree. You know, and you probably are going to see a little bit of, not much, but you'll see some advertising where they talk about this tie-in somewhere to try to get those people into the shops who might not have been in there in a while, but now like, oh, yes, here's something I can collect.
Absolutely. It's a multi-prong attack strategy.
Speaking of the evilness of DC. Oh, wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
But continuing with movie news. So Warner Brothers confirms standalone DC movies outside of DCEU continuity.
Because continuity is just so hard.
Well, this was the statement from Diane Nelson, who's the president of DC Entertainment. Our intention, certainly moving forward, is using the continuity to help make sure nothing is diverging in a way that doesn't make sense. But there's no instance upon an overall storyline or connectivity in that universe, which seems like weird double talk. But what I think she's trying to say is, like, and Geoff Johns kind of clears it up with some of the movies do connect the characters together, like Justice League. But like with Aquaman, our goal is not to connect Aquaman to every movie, which I get that, you know, but Marvel's doing that too, right? Like Ant-Man and Wasp. Didn't connect to, I guess it did. Ant-Man did connect because of he ended up at the Avengers base.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything connects in the Marvel universe. Now it seems to be
Doctor Strange
to cut those ties.
Doctor Strange did not connect to anything else in the Marvel universe and Guardians of the Galaxy hasn't yet.
Wait a minute. Yes.
What was that?
Thor's having a beer with them in the post-credit
sequence. Okay. In the post-credit sequence. But if you take the post-credit sequence out, the rest of the movie, and then the Guardians of the Galaxy have yet to connect with the rest of
But the point is that they all will connect. Doctor Strange is going to be Ragnarok. Everybody will probably be fighting it somewhere in Infinity. Whereas in DC, it's like, oh, which Joker are you? Okay, Leto? Good, good. We don't want him. It's just like, there's like, you know, yeah, whatever. I mean, the whole Marvel thing was built off of the fact that fans like continuity. They like seeing team-ups. They like seeing Marvel Universe feeds that completely, which is why they make so much money off of these big team-ups, the bigger ones, the Avengers series of movies. DC is still trying to play catch-up, and I guess if they bring up a movie like, say, Suicide, we never wanted that to be part of the universe.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I think at the same time, too, it's, you know, you have to give the writers freedom to not have to worry about tying it in right now to the rest of the universe if they want to write a standalone Flash or a standalone Aquaman movie. It's also hard if there's like a big event that happens, how do you not show in some way how it affects their world? So,
and why wouldn't you though? Again, because A, the stories can be much more interesting when you have, you know, other characters in the same universe that could pop up at any time. And B, the reason why the MCU is doing so well is because of this. They're making money hand over fist. People just handing them their wallet and they're walking in the theater. I mean, isn't that enough of an incentive, or is DC just too stupid to understand? I mean,
is it stupid, or is it just trying to be different? Like, I think people get on DC for not mirroring Marvel's exact strategy. When part of me is like, do we need it to be the same? Again, that's DC too. Like, Marvel's thing has always been, they have this big interconnected thing, where DC's always had a much looser affiliation with everything. Like, continuity in DC doesn't match ever.
That's a good question, but you can do different and still have a universal continuity. I mean, you know, it's neither here nor there. I mean,
what does she mean? Does she mean that all these movies don't necessarily have to be linked? She doesn't necessarily say that they don't necessarily all take place in the same universe.
Mm. Well, you know what?
You know, it's a lot of corporate doublespeak.
Yeah, but everything here that we say does not freaking matter at all, because the Flash on the TV series can pop into any fucking universe at any time. It doesn't matter. They're even talking about having him run through the old Kent farm from Smallville this season. There's just, you know, this is not one of those fake things that they're doing about Tom Welling showing up as Superman back in Flash season one. They're actually talking, they actually like spoke to Tom Welling. So it's like, Flash could pop up at any time. They could tie it all together anytime. All they need is the Flash.
Right. But I kind of feel her statement is trying to say they're trying to avoid things like Age of Ultron and the Thor in the water scene. Like, it didn't make sense. It was thrown in to somehow connect Ragnarok to the movie, and and even Whedon didn't want to put the scene in the movie. Marvel forced him to do it.
Right, but if Marvel had asked him to tie it in somehow and find a clever way to do it, Whedon could have done it. It's just they forced him to do that exact scene.
John, I'm pretty sure that was the clever way he tried to do it. Like, I think they're just trying to, I think that was a lot of, you know, we joke about Feige Island. Like, that's more of the corporate strategy over the artistic strategy. And like, we talk about, you know, Feige running the Marvel movies more like a TV show. And it seemed for a while that DC was going the opposite, or Warner was going the opposite direction, and letting filmmakers kind of do their thing with the characters. And that kind of backfired a little bit too. I think this is just giving them some wiggle room, so no one's painted into a corner. Like, again, like I said, it's corporate doublespeak. They can, like, they say three different things in one sentence. It really, when you look at it, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know,
right?
So just they can have their cake and eat it too, and then throw it up and down and jump on the cake and do whatever they want with the cake. You know?
Yeah, but back to one your point. That scene doesn't feel. Whedon could have found a much cleverer way of. Without it being so jarring.
I'm sure he agreed with that. I'm like, there's no one will say, man, that floor scene in Avengers 2 was awesome. Terrible.
Right.
But I mean, like, you're stuck with it.
So I'm thinking either they didn't give him enough time to think up something. They just, you know, just forced it on him really quick. And that was the quickest he could come up with. Or did they do that scene after they finished filming the movie?
Nobody knows. They told him it's going to be in the movie. And like when you're working with when you have a client, because that's what filmmaking is, when you get hired by a company, you're making their movie. Yeah. You have to do it. You know, like, I've done several projects. I'm like, this is stupid, but the client wants it, so that's what I'm going to do. Matt Fraction was actually just talking about on Word Balloon the other day, and how that became his attitude toward corporate comics in general when he wasn't having fun anymore. As he started looking at it more of a client freelancer relationship, as opposed to, you know, taking investment in characters that weren't his. Hmm. And it's hard to argue with that you know, concept. You know,
this is. I got to draw this parallel. I mean, most of our listeners might not get this, but it sounds a lot like working in the IT industry, because you get hired for your brains because you are smart and you know all this stuff. And then the higher ups tell you what to do and leave you sitting there going, if we do this, everything will break and you have to do it anyway because they told you to. And then they get mad at you. It's the same thing as the DC stuff. It's like, why did you tell me to shoot me in the, why did you tell me to shoot you in the foot? Well, I didn't tell you to shoot. Yes, you did.
Dude, we have the same things in corporate video projects. Well, you know what you're doing. You're hired because you're good at your job and you know how to put together something. You know how to tell a story. And then you get some producer who works for the company who tells you to do stupid things that you know aren't going to work. And you say, hey, this isn't going to work. And they're like, no, this is what you're going to do. And you're left with a product that can't be very good. That's a corporate America problem, is that people in charge don't always know what they're doing or don't even know what they're talking about, but they have these positions of middle management power that they can lord over people.
Yeah, and just like that movie, sometimes we wind up in a pool of water wondering how the hell we got there.
Mm-hmm. Or why the hell we're looking at it.
you'd be surprised at how many times that happens in IT.
or on a Friday night. Anyway, so.
Well, that'd be after Victory Brewing, but you know. Go ahead.
So, I think that's all we can say on that topic. But on the topic of DC movies and continuity doesn't matter, and corporate shills are going to do whatever they got to do.
They got to be shills.
I figured we could do another installment of The Writing Room, and we could talk about the Ben Affleck solo Batman movie. Since, you know, as far as we know, there's still no script for the movie. And continuity doesn't matter. Let's talk about, you know, some of the things we'd like to see and not see in the next Batman.
Just give it to Michael J. Straczynski and be done with it. Yeah, you might get really screwed up relationships because he doesn't seem to like good relationships, but you will get an awesome movie.
Anyway, that's not the idea.
That's interesting you say that.
That's not the idea of the segment. You're supposed to come up with the ideas.
Well, I'm lazy, so I'm
you're outsourcing it?
Yes.
You IT guys are all the same. Okay, so like, here's some of the stuff I was kind of thinking about. Number one, just because, A, right now we're stuck with Jared Leto, and two, he's, you know, been done to death. Like, definitely no Joker. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have Firefly or Firebug or whatever.
No, Firefly is his name. I'm just trying to think, does he make sense for a villain for a whole movie? A guy who flies around and burns things down.
I give you Tom King's Kite Man, and I'll tell you, in the hands of the right creative person, even the stupidest character can be crazy interesting.
No, the Calculator.
I advocated for him on the Batgirl when we did this with Batgirl.
No, seriously.
Well, the Geoff Johns Affleck script obviously was, of course, everyone knows at this point, Deathstroke, and they shot that down. So, I don't know. I was kind of thinking, you know, and again, this is just me, you know, just spitballing. I'd like to see Penguin have another go. You know, and as much as people love Danny DeVito, he definitely was not the best representation of Penguin on film.
Now, you're right, because Penguin would give him a run for his... See, part of what we've been missing is the detective part of the, you know, the Dark Knight detective. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice to see him pull out the Arthur Conan Doyle side of things, the Sherlock Holmes, you know, version of himself to have to figure out and outwit somebody. And the Penguin would be a good foil for that because, you know, he's not all, it's not like Bane where he's just going to, you know, beat him up. He's going to try to outthink him, outplan him.
True. That's true. But there's a lot of villains that you can use in that scenario.
Well, supposedly, you know, Ra's al Ghul, but they screwed that up on the, I mean, the first, you know, Batman Begins was really, it was an awesome movie, but they did kind of screw up Ra's al Ghul's character because his plan was stupid.
Right.
And if anything, a guy who's been alive for a couple of centuries would thought of something better.
To be fair, that Ra's al Ghul wasn't alive for a couple centuries.
Oh, they didn't?
Okay. No, he wasn't immortal. He died in the train. He actually, Batman let him die in a train crash.
Well, no, but they still had the idea of the, what's the pit, right?
No.
The Lazarus pit? No,
mentioned the Lazarus pit. The explanation behind Ra's al Ghul is that it's a title that was passed on for generations.
Well, he's still too stupid to run a nation of ninjas. Seriously.
No, I mean, that's true. And Ra's al Ghul is classically the villain who always refers to him as the detective.
Right. And then tries to get him together with his daughters.
Yes. So. Yeah.
What else?
Or you could do,
I don't know.
Or you could do the Riddler.
Yeah, the Riddler has been underestimated and underutilized. Yeah, I mean, that's for sure.
Again, another bad representation with the Jim Carrey overly manic Riddler.
Yeah, we don't need bipolar Riddler. We already have bipolar. He's called Two-Face.
I mean, do anyone ever get the feeling that with those 90s movies that all the people who played villains after Nicholson's Joker were just trying to compete with his performance?
Yes. Big until Arnold, and then he just was Arnold.
Is there another explanation for that?
because you had actors like Tommy Lee Jones, a good actor, and he's chewing scenery, you know, trying to keep up with Jim Carrey. I mean, those movies are bad. You know, I would like to see a detective story. Like some of my favorite Batman stories have been the ones where you have to figure out kind of what's going on. I know this is why no one is ever going to hire me to do a movie, but I don't know. I would kind of like to see Batman try to figure out who's behind something. And then we kind of have to, we don't know who the villain is the whole time, which would never work because of marketing and stuff like that. But that's, if I had my perfect world, that's what I would like to see. Something a little bit more like a Hush or a Long Halloween.
Yeah. I was actually thinking Hush, would be the perfect movie because if you've got Joker or, not Joker. If you got Penguin or Riddler, and he doesn't know who the villain is and he's trying to figure it out, but yet the audience is going to know the whole time. You know, oh, well, we knew this guy was cast as the Riddler, so that's the bad guy he's looking for, you know? And it's tough in to surprise people, I think, with movies today.
Yeah. But let's just, I'd like to at least agree on the fact that he needs somebody to challenge the detective side of him. Because he's not always been all punching, and I think it's more gratifying to see him outwit his opponent as to just punch his opponent in the face.
Right.
Especially if it's Clayface, because it doesn't do anything.
Now that would be a really good movie, now that you say it. Like Clayface is a villain. I always thought Clayface is probably one of the most underutilized Batman characters, period.
Okay, which Clayface? One to eight. You've got
so, I actually think the best version of Clayface was the Marv Wolfman Clayface from Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a mistake that they don't steer into that skid, because that's a Clayface that's intelligent, that could be anybody, that could do anything. You know, that's an actor that could, there's so much flexibility you could have with that character. And especially in the film where you could have like 20 people play the same character, like theoretically, you know, that's a character that should be done with it, you know, because you're always
here at any time.
Yeah. He could be, you don't know who you're fighting, you know? I mean, like, and they do always do for a quick little surprise, but it always feels like, oh wait, there could be something more to it, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
I like that idea a lot because you're right. You could outthink him and it's like, you know, yeah, swing around the corner and he's gone.
I just screwed myself. Someone's going to pitch that now to the Batman editors and I'm going to be like,
copyright JD.
can't copyright something you don't own, my friend.
You can copyright the idea.
No, you can't.
Man, you can try.
All right. So, all right. I like this idea. I like where we're going. So Clayface, because he can challenge him as a detective and physically. What about a love interest? Do we do a love interest?
You don't need a love interest. I think the idea that in every movie you need a love interest is just stupid. Unless, what? Since it's Clayface, he could.
I was just gonna say that. I was just gonna say the same thing. What if the love interest is Clayface?
Yeah. Well, we already had something akin to that in the animated series where Talia al Ghul, it was the future. Yeah, it was in Batman Beyond. Talia al Ghul shows up and, you know, she supposedly has been using Batman. She's still pretty fine. And come to find out, you know, she's kissing Batman and all of a sudden you realize, oh God, that's Ra's. He's inside her. Daddy took his daughter's body.
Creepy.
Just kind of this set of creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, that's one of the things I also kind of felt they missed the mark on in every Batman movie that's been made, and the Nolan trilogy included. Like, I have about at least one long box full of Batman comics, and I can probably count on one hand the number of issues that revolve around a love interest with Batman.
Because he never had time, never
interested. Right.
Killed off anyway, no matter what he did.
Right, but I mean, they make it such a defining character of him in all the movies, and it's like, why?
Well, the answer is because they want to get the female audience in again, and it's antiquated studio thinking. They think the only reason women are going to go watch the movies is if there's a love interest. It's sexist thinking, but yeah.
I think if you show Ben Affleck without a shirt on in enough scenes, that gets the women interested.
Oh.
So, yeah, alright, so okay, so no love interest, Clayface is our villain. All right. I think we're on to something here. do they touch on, this is something too that I've been wondering, since the wonderful movie that was Batman v Superman. Do they touch on what the hell happened to the Batcave and, what happened to, Robin?
No.
Leave that a mystery?
Or maybe that's the mystery. Maybe that's the movie. Batman's got to solve Robin's death. Let's just assume we don't know who does it. You can, since it's out of continuity movie, you could do that. Like, this could be the movie about Batman solving the murder of who killed Robin. Because that's a pretty big hook, actually, for a movie, now that I'm thinking about it.
I would.
And now you could do that.
I mean, the movie Batman v Superman, basically, there starts out with them saying, like, he's been retired, but they've never said why he retired. Now, in Batman, in the Dark Knight Returns comic, he retired because he was old and out of shape and couldn't do it anymore. Obviously, this Batman is not in a condition where he can't do it anymore. But if you put Batman in a situation where his partner was killed and he couldn't figure out who killed him or how or why, that might be a reason for him to retire.
Or what drives him out of retirement.
Well, what drove him out of retirement was trying to kill Superman.
Trying to kill Superman. Let's pretend that didn't happen. You know?
Okay.
Like, we're never gonna get anything good if we have to rely on them, you know.
Okay, so.
But that's what I would do. I think there's a story. I think the story there could be Batman trying to figure, or maybe this is why he retires, or maybe he's solving this murder afterwards because he never could figure it out.
Right.
You know, it was the case that stumped the great detective.
There you go. All right. I think we got a movie, guys. Well, should we
now just add at least 7 more bad guys into it, and you've got a Hollywood movie?
No. I mean, there might be you might have a little bit of a mob tie-in, but not much. We're not gonna go and have Penguin and Riddler and Clayface all together.
Well, let's get the Japanese market too. Let's give them at least 4 love entrances and make it a harem.
Yeah, but then you gotta add tentacles in, and it just gets messy.
We can do that.
Huh?
If we've got Clayface, we could do that easy.
Oh, okay. So we should get ready for our Academy Award nominations, guys, because, you know, I think we're working on gold here.
Yeah, I think the Razzies will have something to say about that. Oh,
man. All right.
And the Writers Guild of America. But
and the copyright offices and the lawyers, but, you know.
Are you saying we're not parts of all these fine institutions?
A little thing called Warner Brothers.
Define the word fine.
All right. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pose it to our audience? You guys listening at home on the internet and all those fine, wonderful places. What do you want to see in a Batman movie? What don't you want to see? What are some of the things you'd like to see? I mean, what have we seen too much of? What haven't we seen enough of? Let us know. Tweet it at us, you know, share it on our Facebook page, whatever. Just let us know what you're thinking. Yeah, I think that's good. All right. You guys have anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up for this week?
No. It's been a bad week so far. And, Wednesday, very early, we will be at the New York Comic Con. We will be, well, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, you should already be starting to see tweets from, our Twitter, the Superhero Speak Twitter account, and from our Facebook account from the New York Comic Con.
Maybe we'll even do a live Facebook video while we're on our way to New York.
That's pretty cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yes. We know JD will be watching it.
and if anybody at the New York Comic Con is listening to this, if you can find Dave and punch him in the face, you get a free t-shirt.
Hey!
There's going to be 100,000 people walking on that building. That math is pretty good. Someone tries.
Okay, the people who listen to this show by now know where I'm going to be at the convention. I can't really hide.
Yeah, you'll be at the Rooster Teeth booth. Yes, that's where you'll be.
That's such a great show. You know, I'm kind of bummed I can't make it out there this year. But, man, New York Comic Con, I'm envious of you guys. It's so cool. It's so big. Like, the one we have in Chicago, C2E2, is nothing compared. I got to go 3 years in a row, and I haven't been since 2014, but it's such a great Comic-Con. It really is.
Okay, check your envy, because until you've been stuck in a human traffic jam for 15 minutes...
I've done it.
In front of a booth with the guy dressed as the Mad Hatter, literally sweating off pancake makeup, standing 6 feet in the air, standing on a pole that's 6 feet up in the air, and just dancing the whole time. 15 minutes looking down at you while makeup is just sweating off of them. You just haven't experienced the New York Comic Con.
See, I think you need to experience it from the other side and sit at a table the whole Sunday when people are unhappy and miserable and it's not, and you know, you're getting coughed on all the time and you come home with the con crud. That is not a fun experience either.
I'm sure.
I thought that's what the t-shirt gun was for. You can perk up an audience that's not having a good time, and B, shoot anybody that gets near you so you don't get the con crud.
I'm talking an Artist Alley table, man. Like, that's different, because you need people, but they get you sick.
Oh, yeah. I know about that. But don't look for me in Artist Alley.
Gee, Dave, no. That was not obvious at all.
I say no t-shirt for you.
Well, some of the cosplayers that I like to talk to aren't going to be there. Others are, though. So, you know.
Speaking of t-shirts, by the way, don't forget to show your support for the show. Check out, are the official Superhero Speak t-shirt available from superheroespeak.com? Sorry.
No,
get that plug, man. Plug Twitter, that merch.
Twitter, Patreon, Facebook, Slack, we're everywhere.
Yes. Even in your dreams. Wait. No.
No, those are nightmares.
Those are nightmares. But
people go to psychologists for that.
But you were saying you're looking forward to seeing scantily clad cosplayers.
Not scantily clad. Okay, one or two of them. There's a lot of nice people that I've met last year. I mean, Ricky Lakota isn't going this year, unfortunately. But there are a couple of others. There's one up-and-coming actress that I know who was cosplaying last year, and I got a couple of pics of her. She said she's going again this year, so get more pics of her. And, you know, and all the other – the amount of cosplays in this place, there were players there that were – I'm sure they just went because they wanted to dress up as somebody, and they didn't care if anybody didn't know them. Like, Uncle from Jackie Chan Adventures was sitting there, and he was sitting there, just sitting on a chair. I mean, just, that's it, just sitting on a chair. It's just, it's awesome, you know?
Yes, and...
I could go on forever about that. Go ahead.
And we're going to do our best, boys and girls, to post pictures as soon as we can every night while we're at the convention. I will at least be posting photos to our Instagram while I'm there from my phone, because our official photographer sometimes is a little slow.
That's me. Stop it.
What? What? Wait, was that out loud?
Yeah. New photographer can't make it to this one, but she will probably make the next the next convention. So I will once again be taking pictures at this one, which is probably why we got another one that can take real pictures. So if you're looking at a picture and you're not sure which side is like up, that's probably one of mine.
Yes. So you guys have all those things to look forward to next week. Keep an eye out for the pictures, and of course, we will have a review of the convention posted shortly afterwards, and we're going to be doing we're going to be part of a big crossover pod that will be recorded while we're at the convention. That is going to be with Dinner and a Podcast and Not Another Nerdy Podcast, and I possibly the guys from So Wizard. I'm sorry, Fans on Patrol. So keep an ear out for that one, guys. It'll be on, I believe it'll be on the Dinner and a Podcast feed. But yeah, it'll be fun. We're going to be recording that, I believe, Friday night, which I have not told John about yet.
Yes, I was about to ask about that. Also, on Saturday night, I'm going to be going to an evening with Mark Hamill at the Hammerstein Ballroom. So I don't know how, I won't be able to take pictures there most likely, but I can probably live tweet a little bit from there. You know, or at least a little bit, because, you know, for the most part, I'll be, my attention will be on Mark Hamill, of course.
Oh, well.
But yeah.
Until they arrest you for jumping on the stage and going, I love you, Luke Skywalker.
No, it'd be Trickster.
Oh.
Like, I would not be so pedestrian as to go for the obvious avenue.
All right, guys. I think we've given them enough, hints as our plans. For this convention. So until next time, as always, boys and girls, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
place to feel. So let's get to the point. Let's roll another joint. Let's head on down the road to somewhere. I gotta go, and you don't know how it feels.